we have Dr. Bob Smith, director of Fort Riley Museum Complex. Good morning.
Good morning, Brady.
I've been going to Dr. Robert Smith, I think, the whole morning, but you're like, no, that's
too formal.
All right. Well, it's the topic today is the 1st Infantry Division on D-Day, and today's a special day. This is the, we said it earlier in the...
74 years,
that's right. 74 years since the invasion on D-Day, and when 1st Infantry Division soldiers landed on Omaha Beach morning of June 6th. This says 2018, but it wasn't 2018.
1944.
1944, a little different. And you know, an amazing anniversary.
Momentous day for the division. Momentous day. And I'm a bit biased, but the 1st Infantry Division had the toughest job landing on Omaha Beach. It was a very tough fight. And they, with sheer determination and grit, they won the day. And actually... we celebrate this day. Basically, it was the end of the beginning of the end of World War II in Europe.
And when we're looking at Omaha Beach, I guess give us kind of more of a geographic vision, if you will, of where Omaha Beach was.
Omaha Beach is located in Normandy. There were 5 invasion beaches, 2 U.S. beaches that the U.S. Army and U.S. military forces had, Utah and Omaha. And then there were 3 other beaches which were held by our British and Canadian and Free French allies, Gold Sword and Juneau. The importance of Omaha Beach is that Omaha Beach was smack dab in the middle and was the sort of connecting tissue between the British beaches of Gold Sword and Juneau, and Utah Beach, which was to the west of Omaha Beach. Omaha Beach, though, was the most heavily defended beach and the toughest fight. The 352nd German Infantry Division was actually holding that section of the beach. They were a very good unit that had fought on the Eastern Front and then had 3 months to prepare for the eventual landing of American troops.
When we think about D-Day, I think one thing that comes to mind for most people is the movie Saving Private Ryan.
That's correct. Although, I don't know what it is with Hollywood. Maybe the 29th Division, which also landed on Omaha Beach, has really good press people. But the 1st Infantry Division played a very, very major role in the assault waves.
And why was the 1st Infantry Division chosen for this task?
That's a really great question. And they had participated in 2 previous invasions, the invasion of North Africa in November of 42, and then in the summer of 43, they had participated in the invasion of Sicily. And so they were very well prepared in amphibious operations. And if I can paraphrase General Omar Bradley, telling the commander of the division at that time, Clarence Huebner, why they were picked for another invasion when they thought they were going to go home and get train other troops. Omar Bradley basically said, I need one of my best divisions to tackle this job. This isn't going to be easy. So I know it's hard on your troops, but you're going to be picked because you are the best in amphibious operations.
When you think about D-Day, the planning, I think it still probably holds regard as probably being the most ambitious, probably most massive operation the world's probably ever seen.
It was the most massive operation to pull all of those naval, army, air corps forces together, and also Eisenhower working with our allies, which... worked out very well. A lot of times there was a lot of disagreements and things, but in order to pull that coalition together and to pull these massive amounts of troops together for an invasion of Western Europe, it was a huge undertaking. And you got to hand it to General Eisenhower. He had some tough decisions to make in June of 44. There was a weather situation. He had a short window between that early June in which to land troops He was also concerned about, what kind of German response. He knew that the German West Wall was very formidable. So he had a lot of issues there. And then he was also worried about security, that the word would leak out with the date. So going with June 6th was a huge gamble for him. But he took it, and he did succeed with it.
Did it have a special code word with it to try and throw people off or to keep that in-house, if you will?
Well, it was actually the whole operation, the naval and army operation, was called Neptune. The amphibious operation was called Overlord. And there was an interesting story about that security that a few weeks before the actual invasion, one of the crossword puzzles that appeared in a British newspaper had both the words Overlord and Neptune in it, and they
really
thought there was a breach of security there. And so that was another concern, is we've got to have this invasion happen before word leaks out to the Germans that we're going to actually do this.
Brady Bowman here with Dr. Bob Smith, director of Fort Riley Museums, looking back at the 74th anniversary of the D-Day invasion and the 1st Infantry's involvement in there. You mentioned President Eisenhower. I mean, so much Kansas history, really, that's entrenched in this day.
A lot of Kansas history there. And the commander of the 1st Infantry Division for the invasion, Clarence Huebner, a Kansas native also. And I understand he still has family living in, in the state of Kansas.
Isn't there a Huebner Lane on post?
Yes, there is. Yes, there is.
Uh-huh. And that's the same guy, right?
That's the same guy.
There you go.
So, Clarence Huebner was quite a guy. He was called Coach by his troops because he emphasized training. And I think that training became very evident when they landed on Omaha Beach, because the landing on Omaha Beach was, the first shot, the plan goes out the window. Everything that could go wrong seemed to go wrong that early morning with the American troops landing. The seas were rougher than anticipated. The landing craft landed in the wrong places, and the units became interspersed with one another. The volume of fire was so great by the Germans, it was unanticipated. The soldiers thought they would actually walk on the beach like they had done in Sicily and in North Africa, and they were loaded down with equipment. So there were all, and the landing craft landed landed way before the shoreline. They would beach themselves on sandbars, and so soldiers would step off into 12, 14 feet of water and go underwater. Some actually, in order not to drown, actually walked on the seabed up until they could get their head above water because they were laden with so much equipment.
You want to talk about a situation where just all the odds are against you, yet it was still successful.
It was successful, and the success there's a number of people that created what I would say were responsible for the success. First of all, it was the individual American soldier, and it was the small units that actually coalesced. And it was also Colonel George Taylor, and his quote is really interesting. After about 2 hours of this carnage on the beach, Colonel George Taylor, who commands 16th Infantry, said there are two kinds of people on this beach, the dead and the dying. So let's get the out of here. And that galvanized the troops to start working in small parties to blow holes in the barbed wire with Bangalore torpedoes, to find those draws to move up, and had these isolated incidents where they would neutralize German positions. And eventually, at the end of the day, they succeeded and actually were able to move up on the plateau above the beach.
Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll come back and talk more about this. We talk about the success, but there were some lives lost.
Oh, absolutely.
Let's talk about that a little bit when we come back on In Focus here on News Radio KMAN.
The clock is ticking. Every day you put off buying life insurance can cost you big time. The older you get, the more you'll have to pay.